brethren's real talk live, always expressing the real. Ain't no sugarcoating, that's not how he is. Only discussing topics that can help change your life or educate your mind to all new heights. And straight and light on entrepreneurs that's on the ride. This is brethren's real talk live, giving back is how we ride. For the people, for the community, for the society, for the voices, for the unknown issues that be going down. Braylon's, Braylon's, real talk live. When you hear this music, you know some real topics dropping down. Braylon's, Braylon's, real talk live. Time to tune in and unwind, yeah. What's up with it? DFW Metroplex, surrounding cities, all the states of the United States, and all the countries across the world. That's right, Brands Real Talk Live back again with another one. Finna give it to you straight. We got a special guest on the show, as well as some fire topics that are going to be discussed between me and my co-host, Miss Pride. So we're going to get into it. But first, let's get into these announcements and news. If you would like to be on the show as an entrepreneur guest, guest speaker, music guest, or if you have topics you want us to discuss, or even if you want your music to be featured as the realest song of the week, you know, any independent artist out there, feel free to contact the show by email, which is berealtalklive@yahoo.com. You can also DM the show on social media, which will be Facebook at Real Talk Live DTX, or on Instagram at berealtalklive. You can also contact the show, any businesses out there, if you would like to take advantage of our Radio Spot commercial service. Prices vary depending on what minute increment you choose. We do 1 minute, 3 minute, and 5 minute increments. And as well as however long you want the commercial to run on the show. So if you're interested in those services, also contact the show via email or social media. As you know, here at Brands Real Talk Live, we are proud supporters of a few nonprofit organizations. The first nonprofit organization is the South Oak Cliff High School Band Booster Club, which supports the new Soul of the South Marching Band. To donate to this nonprofit, you can do so via Cash App, which is $SOC Band Booster. You can also follow the band on Instagram at SOC New Soul of the South. That's new as in the letters N and U. Or on Facebook at New Soul of the South. Also, you can follow the band Booster Club on Facebook as well. You know, join the group, which is New Soul of the South Band Booster Club. You can also join the Band Booster Club as well if you would like to participate in chaperoning at games, coming to the meetings and providing input and ways to create fundraisers and things of that nature. If you want like any involvement in this nonprofit organization, you can do so by joining the group on Facebook, New Soul of the South Band Booster Club. All the information is inside there, what, how to join, you know, the application you have to fill out, your $40 membership fee, which will cover your shirts that you will get, and your donation to the, and a small donation to the band itself, and things of that nature. So any alumni out there that has some time on their hands, make sure to check that out. The season is still young. School hasn't been in too long, so make sure to get in there. Another nonprofit organization that you can donate to that Brethren Real Talk Live supports is Brethren Blur Entities, in which they take care of the ignored and unanswered problems throughout the community, as well as providing a permanent plan to ending homelessness with the initiative Project Helping Hand. You can donate to this nonprofit via PayPal by using the email BraylonBENT@yahoo.com or Cash App, which will be $BraylonBlairENT. Or you can hit the support this podcast button where you can give monthly donations. Three different options will come up, which you can cancel at any time. And you can donate that way as well. You can also follow Braylon Blair Entities on Instagram at Braylon B-E-N-T or on Facebook at Braylon Blair E-N-T. And you can also go to the website, BraylonBlairEntities.com. Braylon Blair Entities is in the first phase of their Project Helping Hand initiative, which is raising the money needed to purchase the land where Braylon Blair Entities plans on putting the Project Helping Hand facility. The Project Helping Hand facility will have an apartment complex, which will be split in half. Half of the apartment complexes will be places where the homeless can move on in and have shelter. The other side will be regular, to where they, you know, stay and, you know, pay rent regularly after they get back on their feet. Reason why we say that our Project Helping Hand initiative will end homelessness permanently is because we will have all the different aspects and assistance needed to get them back in society as they once were. Not only will the Project Helping Hand facility have an apartment complex, it will also have a government center to where they can get any issues they may have with the assistance that is out there, whether it be food stamps, housing, you know, Section 8, things like that. Help them with that, because I know a lot of them be having certain issues, or, you know, they have to find a way or see how they can they become become eligible for those government assistance services. Another thing that the Project Helping Hand facility will have is a workforce solution center, powered by different staffing agencies and job assistant programs, so they can easily and quickly get a job, so they can get back to living a life that they're accustomed to. Lastly, the Project Helping Hand facility will also have a medical and dental and mental health clinic to take care of all any ailments they may have, whether it's mental health, dental health, and medical health, if they have any problems like that. So we're covering all bases so we can get the homeless off the street for good, so they can become a regular citizen like you and me. So make sure, if you would like to donate to this nonprofit, please do so via PayPal, Cash App, because the Project Helping Hand facility is the permanent solution to cleaning up the streets in the city of Dallas. All support is appreciated. Also, here at Braylon Talk Live, we also support other fellow podcasts. The first podcast you can check out is Them Damn Millennials, which you can follow them on YouTube at TDM Productions, or on Instagram at Them Damn Millennials, or you can follow one of the main host of the podcast on Facebook under the name Bear Jackson. That's B-E-A-R Jackson. You can also purchase their merchandise on the website bearology.store. Another podcast you can check out that's a part of the Dim Dam Millennials franchise is Sneakerland, where they discuss all the latest kicks, the kicks that you're supposed to have in your collection, and more. So you can also check out that podcast via the same social media handles that I previously stated. Another podcast you can check out is the Off the Liquor podcast. You can follow that podcast on YouTube at Emery Anderson III, on Facebook at Emery Anderson III, and on Instagram at Emery Anderson III. Last podcast you can check out if you want to get your real Hebrew Israelite fix, and along with other realness that no one is discussing, simply hit up that Truth Be Told Flex podcast. You can follow that podcast on YouTube under Truth Be Told Flex podcast. Tell them Braylon's Real Talk Live sent you. If you would like to keep up with everything that I am involved in, whether it be the podcast, Brothers Will Talk Live, my music production / music label company, Bludgeoning Productions, me as the artist, B Sizzle the Realist, and the nonprofit, Brethren Blur Entities, you can do so by following me on Snapchat at BraylonBDTX. Snapchat is where I post everything all at once. Anything pertaining to any of those entities I'm involved in will all be on Snapchat. Speaking of Bludgeoning Productions, you can follow Bludgeoning Productions on Facebook at BludgeoningDTX and on Instagram at Bludgeoning_Productions. If you need any audio engineering services, make sure to hit up Bludgeoning Productions as well. As me as the artist, B Sizzle the Realist, as you know, his The Realist Love album is on the verge of being released within this month. Tried to make the August deadline, but ran out of days. But any few days in this month coming up, The Realist Love album will be released. So to follow B Sizzle the Realist progress and any of his releases, you can go to Facebook, which is will be at B Sizzle DTX, or follow him on Instagram at B Sizzle DTX. You can also follow Bludgeoning Productions other artists, Miss Pride, and our co-host, Miss Pride, at Facebook at Randy Richardson, which is R-A-N-D-I Richardson, or on Instagram at Miss Pride 1. All right, moving on to local news. All right, starting with the Cowboys. First of all, how about them Cowboys? Yeah, unfortunately, they came up short in their game against Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but it was one hell of a performance by both quarterback Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys as a whole team. That showing really has us fans excited for the season. Little small situations, receiver Michael Gallup will be missing 3 to 5 weeks with a calf strain. And right tackle Lyle Collins is unfortunately suspended for 5 games for not showing up to a drug testing. They have lawyers fighting to appeal the punishment because according to the NFL's records and rules, suspension is not the punishment for missing a drug testing. He's only supposed to pay a fine, and that is all. So they're looking to appeal the suspension. So we'll see if before game time, which will be next Sunday against the LA Chargers at SoFi Stadium at 3:25, September 19th. In Rangers news, they kind of been on a little roll lately, but they're finishing up their series against the Athletics, the Oakland A's. The game is almost over. They're in the 9th inning right now, and the Rangers are up 4-3. So hopefully they cross the finish line with that score. They will open up another season series against the Houston Astros, which starts tomorrow at 7:05 p.m. The next game will be Tuesday, September 14th. The next game will be Wednesday, September 15th. And the last game of that series will be Thursday, September 16th. And all those games will take place at 7:05 p.m. And as far as the Dallas Mavericks, there's not really any much new news to report. Just reiterating a few things. You know, Dallas hired Jason Kidd as the new head coach to replace Rick Carlisle after he stepped down. They also replaced Donnie Nelson with Nico Harrison. He's the new general manager. And they re-signed Tim Hardaway Jr. They gave Luka Doncic his $201 million max contract extension. They also signed a few other players. One of them being Blaylock from the New York Knicks. And that's pretty much that so far, as far as Dallas Mavericks. There is no Dallas Stars information to report at this time. Well, other than that, coming up now is our special guest interview with Malia the Model. All right, now it's time for Topic Drop. I'm here with my co-host,
Miss Pride.
All right, and we're finna give it to you straight. So let's get into it. First topic we're going to talk about this evening is parents who make social media accounts for their children. Is it wrong? All right, and what I mean by this is there's parents that are making social media accounts, showcasing their children, like, you know, even though when they're first born and stuff, and they're just, you know, posting their pictures and all that. But the purpose behind it is they're trying to use their, either their child's looks or something, trying to pursue fame through their children. So the question is it wrong? To me, I say yes, because you're trying to either live a different life or pursue some form of life, you know, through your children, something that you didn't accomplish through your life. So you're trying to use your children to achieve that. And to me, I feel that is wrong. Like, you know, that's just like saying when you, if you make your child play a specific sport and they don't really like it or don't want to do it, but you're forcing them to do it because you done it, or, you know, it's kind of falls along those same lines to me. So I feel that, you know, parents shouldn't be doing that kind of thing. I get like some celebrities do that where they're not doing it for fame purposes. They just do it just to showcase their child or how cute their child is, because they be dressing them up and all that kind of stuff. And they let the world see their progress as the child gets older. So that's why the reason the celebrities make the accounts or whatever. But I mean, if they're making it for that reason, that's probably fine. But if it's, but 9 times out of 10, regular people aren't doing it just to show, you know, how they dress their kid up and all that. It's more than that. So I feel that's wrong.
What if the child eventually wants to do it?
I mean, then that's fine. You know, it's not forced.
I don't know. To each zone. I don't think it's like necessarily wrong. It just depends, like, what the situation is. Like, if you had, like, sometimes people showcase their kids if they have like a child product they're trying to put out there, so like their kids are like their models.
Right.
I mean, nowadays we are living in a whole different world, so it's like everybody has a platform.
Yeah, in a way, yeah.
So I don't necessarily agree with you on that one. I mean, it's just to each their own, pretty much. Because sometimes the kid wants to do it. Or likes to do it.
Right, yeah.
They're trying to do, or they're doing this for a purpose as far as, like, their branding or their...
Yeah.
I mean, especially, like, when we went into the when we're still in the pandemic, but when we first started, you know what I mean? Like, people have to make money. As long as it's, like, something positive,
yeah,
it shouldn't really be a problem.
Oh, well, that's that. All right. Next topic we're going to talk about is the pregnancy-related music covers. Okay, recently, Drake, of course, released his new album, Certified Lover Boy, and on the September 3rd. And the cover, it's got, like, mixed emotions about it. You know, it's the pregnancy emoji, you know, in different colors. That's the cover of the album. And the reason behind it, the real reason, you know, people had to find it or whatever, the real reason is behind it is that he was supposed to release the album 9 months ago. So that's why, that's the whole trick behind the whole pregnancy emoji album cover. All right, on the flip side, Lil Nas X, I guess he has an album cover, and he also did a photo shoot of him, you know, as if he was pregnant himself. All right, so that's the whole gist of the topic. So let me break it down. So some people, okay, we're talking about the Drake one first. Some people like felt like, you know, they got offended. You know, we have a lot of sensitivity in this world now. So, you know, a lot of people were offended by the album cover and they was like, is he promoting that, you know, getting women pregnant is a thing, you know, without any real reason or relationship. Like, people were just having all kind of off the wall thoughts about it. And I'm just like, okay, why are you going there based off some picture or something? Like, how did you even get to that assumption or conclusion in the first place? Is beyond me. But I, you know, people do have their opinions, and, you know, everybody's mind is different and they interpret things crazy, you know, in a crazy way. But I mean, me, I didn't have a problem with it. I kind of figured it was a hidden meaning behind it, because I'm just like, okay. I mean, there's always a purpose behind the art of a album or single cover. You know, people don't just make covers. They don't have no particular meaning, or it's not always a meaning that offends someone. Okay. All right. On the other side, with the Lil Nas X one, you know, him portraying himself as he was pregnant or whatever, a lot of people didn't like that. You know, of course, yeah, you know, it's been known that, you know, he's out there, you know, he's homosexual or whatever. But people felt like, you know, he shouldn't have done that. And I'm just like, it really doesn't matter. I mean, for one, he's homosexual. For two, I mean, they can do what they want. You know, people have no say over these type of people, you know, artists or whatever. And you shouldn't feel no type of way regardless of how it is. Now, if it was like promoted to the point where it's like making a joke of pregnancy, then yeah, we have a problem, you know, and we, you know, looking down on pregnancy or making fun of it in any way, then yeah, that would make more sense. I would understand people's backlash and anger for it. But I mean, if it's for like a specific purpose, you know, like, you know, even if it was like a purpose of, you know, rebirthing their music or, you know, something like that, that's fine. So I don't see why people got all crazy behind that, you know.
Well, my opinion is, like, for Drake's cover, I wasn't offended about it. I mean, basically, he was just, like, basically thinking outside the box, because how many covers have you seen where there's, like, the rap artist and there's, like, 3 to 5 girls, like, standing around them in a picture? Or, like, even, like, back in the 80s when they used to have, like, the guy, like, the Michael Jackson Thriller cover album, or, like, you know, like, the Teddy Pendergrass album cover, yeah. They were, like, laying to the side, like, it was just all the same, like, so he was just thinking outside the box, and that's what I think that came from. Like, the 9 months ago, he was supposed to have the album out, and plus, he was thinking outside the box, because he just didn't want to have, like, a mediocre, regular picture of him and maybe like a bunch of girls surrounding him. As for Lil Nas X, he's doing what he's doing for shock value.
Mm-hmm.
And him being a rap artist that's gay or whatever, like, he's just trying to keep himself relevant. Like, it's straight shock value.
Yeah.
So he's doing things to keep himself in your ear and in your mouth. Like,
yeah.
Keep talking about him, keep listening to him. He's just keeping himself, you know, relevant.
Yeah.
It is all shock value. All these artists do everything for shock value.
Yeah, it's a unique
all
form
shock
of
value. Because mm-hmm. if Lil Nas X wasn't doing these things, would we be talking about him right now?
Not at all. Just like with the whole Devil and Nike situation, you know, that was another shock value tactic. So, you know, that's how they do it. People choose their way of marketing, and that's a form of marketing.
Pretty much.
Yep. All right. Next topic we're going to talk about is Michelle Williams' National Anthem Rendition. Okay. As we all know, the NFL season kicked off this past Thursday. The game that was being played were between the Cowboys and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Michelle Williams, as you know, she's a former member of Destiny's Child. and she did the national anthem. And, you know, she put her own little twist on it, and it was fine. You know, it was great, redemption. Well, I'm bringing it up because the situation at hand is some people feel like, you know, they was going through the comments of what everybody was saying, and a lot of people was like, you know, talking about a Destiny's Child reunion, or they should do one or something like that, right? And then there's a lot of group of people that went against it, and they was like, why are y'all continuing to put her in that shadow like that? Like, why can't y'all just appreciate her, you know, as who she is individually? Why every time Michelle Williams does something, y'all have to bring up Destiny's Child reunion stuff or whatever the case may be, you know? So, and I kind of feel them on that, because I'm just like, why would y'all even bring that up, you know? She did a great job on the national anthem, putting a little twist on it, how she did it, and that's all it should have been. It shouldn't have been to the point where y'all talking about this, you know, Destiny's Child stuff and all this other, you know, nonsense. And like, don't get me wrong, you know, you have fans that, you know, that want a reunion, and there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, not every little situation bring it up, you know, regardless of whether she's doing, whether she has a new song out or whether she has a new album out or whether she's doing this and doing that. I mean, every situation doesn't need it to where you bring up the reunion talk, you know, every little time, you know. And so I felt the people on that. But, and then there's other people that, you know, they didn't like that she put a twist on it. And I'm just like, okay, different artists put twists on the national anthem all the time. So I don't even know why you're in your feelings. But I guess those are those hardcore patriotic people. They was like, the national anthem should be sang the way it's written, and these artists shouldn't try to change it. And I'm just like, okay, well, where were you when Whitney Houston did her version? Or when, you know,
no one ever sings it. Hell, I mean, no one ever sings the original anyway.
That's what I'm saying. So that's what I'm trying to get, where these people come from.
Marvin Gaye did his rendition. Whitney Houston did his rendition. Fergie did, and it was horrible. But Fergie did her rendition.
Hers was horrible. Yes.
Sam Barr did her rendition.
Like I said, see what I'm saying? You know, I could have started going. Like, we could go down the list.
Michelle, like, as if she can't do anything by herself, because she's done plenty by herself.
That's right. That's exactly what I'm getting at. And yeah, so that's why I felt where the people was coming from when they, you know, when they was attacking those people for even, you know, saying that. And I'm just like, okay, yeah, we see what this is. Y'all not giving her credit as an individual. So, and you know, and that's wrong, of course. So,
and Destiny Child is not going to come back together. There might be a special appearance on one of Beyonce's tours. We're all going to get.
Not a full reunion. Yeah, not the full, oh, they finna make a whole album together. And no. I mean, as much as you may want it, it's not happening.
All of them have moved on.
Right. Because not too long ago, like some months ago, it was like in the news a little bit, the social media page, I think it was either the Twitter. Well, no, I think it was all of them. Matter of fact, they had the page had uploaded a new new photo or new, you know, art graph or something, some new graphic or whatever on the social media pages. So people was like, "Oh, is a reunion happening? Is something finna happen?" They uploaded this new graphic on the social media pages, and I'm just like, really, really.
Hope alive, y'all.
Yeah, but I mean, hey, if one does happen, cool. If it don't, cool. I mean, it's all fine, you know. But you know, just quit looking for something that's maybe not likely to happen, I should say, you know, and just keep it moving. Next topic we're going to talk about is the Nia Long's effect in movies. Does she help directors suspend reality a little bit? And what we mean by this is her presence in a movie, does it kind of alter reality or alter how the movie's, you know, constructed altogether? A comedian, you know, Ryan Davis, you know, for those who may not know who he is, he made a video pertaining to The reason why this outcome happened is because Neil Long was in this particular scenario or situation. All right, he pointed out four particular movies, and I'm going to go over those movies and help you understand where all this comes from.
He's basically saying how fine she was, and how she seems so fine playing the leading lady, that occurrences that could be devastating to people were totally distracted.
Right. And, you know, I'm not going with the whole fine part yet. He did say that, but I'm gonna get to that in a second. All right, so the movie, one of the movies that he pointed out was in Boys in the Hood. You know, she played Trey's girlfriend, and he was a victim of police brutality. But after having sex with, you know, Neil Long's character, he no longer brought up the police brutality. So they feel like, okay, that's her effect on the whole situation. All right, that's one example. The other example is in Friday, how, you know, Craig admitted Debo choked him in Smokey's backyard, and he beats up Felicia and terrorized the entire neighborhood, you know, robbing people without a gun, et cetera, et cetera. But it wasn't until he hit Neil Long character, Craig gets the confidence and fights him in whatever case may be. That's the second example. The third example is the movie Love Jones, where her character did pretty much a whole bunch of different stuff. Like, you know, she dated Lawrence Tate's friend when she came back from New York. She went to New York to go try to reconcile with her ex and all this stuff. They got back together once the first time, but they broke up again because she said she couldn't trust Lawrence Tate, and just a whole bunch of different stuff. But at the end of the movie, you know, they still end up getting back together. You know, he tried to tell her whatever, he'll do whatever it takes to get back with her, and that's how the movie ended. All right, that's that scenario. And the last scenario, another movie that he pointed out was in The Best Man Holiday, how Taye Diggs, the character he was playing, had sex with Nia Long's character back in college, and he never forgot it. Years later, he's with a whole nother girlfriend, and his best friend is getting ready to marry Nia Long, Morris Chestnut. And the fact that Morris Chestnut found out about that whole situation, you know, beat him, you know, pretty badly. But instead of him going to the hospital like you would or whatever, he went to Nia Long's place instead, you know, trying to, I don't know, get some type of healing or whatever. But, and then the last example is it's a Netflix movie called Fatal Affair, where Omar Epps' character almost had sex with Nia Long's character. She turns him down and cuts him off completely because she was a married woman and all that. And he goes and trying to kill her entire family and her friend. Okay. So those are the scenarios that he pointed out. And my take on it is, it really doesn't matter. If they casted any black woman, I'm not even going with looks, you know. I feel that the movies would have been played out the exact same way. That's how it was written. That's how it was constructed. Regardless of what characters are cast or who played the roles. You know, I get it. You know, he was a comedian, so he probably was doing it for comic purposes. But some people kind of actually took it to heart. They was like, excuse me. They was like, well, maybe he's onto something, you know. Maybe because she's in these specific movies or situations, this is why the outcome was this way. They wouldn't have done the outcome for any other type of actress or whatever. And that's not true. That's just not accurate. Like, I feel that regardless who was playing the role, it would have been the same scenario because that's how the movie was intended to be. And I'm going to just leave it at that.
Well, that's just like in real life. Like, if a girl is good looking and a guy, just like with the Craig situation with the movie Friday, that's just like in real life. If a girl is good looking and a guy is trying to get her attention and all that, of course they're going to do whatever they need to do to impress her. And they just like say, well, there, you good looking and if your new thing was on that, then of course they constantly call back or try to
keep up. Yeah. Exactly. So the whole point is, you know, it's not been in reality at all. I mean, That's true. Just like with the Fatal Attraction movie, Fatal Affair movie, that's actually real too. You know, people get obsessed with people. You know, they get turned down. You know, people, it happens. You know, a girl turns a guy down. He doesn't accept, you know, the turn down peacefully. And he started doing all kind of crazy stuff, trying to get back at the woman for, you know, her turning him down. It was something in the news similar to that. A woman turned the guy down, so he went and shot her in the leg or something because she turned him down. He was trying to get her number, and she said no, so he shot her. So, I mean, people do that. There is no reality being bent whatsoever in these particular situations that was pointed out. So I'm just saying, like, there's nothing there. He wasn't on to anything. Most of it is reality. It happens, and that's pretty much that. All right. Next topic we're going to talk about is, who is the catch in a relationship, a man or a woman? Okay. All right. Yes. Basically, I'm going to get there. So just like Ms. Pride said already, I know. I'm going to get to the point, reason why we're on this topic. The answer is indeed both, like Ms. Pride stated here. But the case was, a woman had made a significant comment on the post. I got this topic from social media, and her comment was, she said, this is her opinion, she said, real men are the catch. She said, because although us women can, you know, do good on our own, we don't need a man for anything, et cetera, et cetera. She said, a man is still the catch because they are supposed to lead, provide, and protect while we're sitting around waiting to be proposed to. And that was her opinion. And people went crazy. And I'm just like, okay, well, let me find the logic. Let me try to bring it out as best as possible. And to her point, she was true on the whole men supposed to lead, protect, and provide. However, that doesn't just necessarily make them the catch all by itself. You know, both people are the catch. Everybody has their own different values, how they do stuff, their talents, their skill sets, and that's all it comes down to. Both people are the catch, you know, relationship or whatever. Everybody brings something to the table. Now, I get it. It'd be some situations where people be in some one-sided relationships and they're doing all the heavy lifting and literally taking care of a person that's not contributing to the relationship whatsoever. But in a real sense, in a natural, normal relationship, that's not the case. Both people are bringing something to the table, and both people are the catch.
Yeah, both people are the, to me, both men and women are the catch due to the fact that everybody has their own set of merits that they believe that the catch is.
Right.
You know what I mean? So if you feel that person you're with is the catch, or if you feel like you're the catch, or whatever the case might be, whatever you mean, just like you said, bring to the table. It just depends what your perspective is as who the catch.
Right. So, yeah, exactly. So, you know, so yeah, that's why people went crazy over her comment, because, you know, yeah, a lot of people that agreed, and then you had other people like, you know, especially the women, they was like, no, ma'am, ain't nobody waiting around to be proposed to. And, you know, it just got crazy. And I'm just like, all right, well, we got to discuss. We got to.
Let me see, man, like, women waiting around to be proposed to. Because at the end of the day, I think it's kind of like, as women, honestly, in my opinion, women can get a man. Especially if they know what that man's interests are and whatnot, you know what I mean? If they know him or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think it was, I'm trying to see how I can say this.
Take your time.
Like, a female can get any man that they want. However, I think she was putting as perspective as the man, though, still has the choice if he wants to choose you or not. I think that's what she was trying to say.
Yeah, I feel you on that. I agree with that. you know, but people just took it all out of context. Because I knew it was like, she wasn't stating it at, like,
keeping it old fashioned. The man is supposed to, you know, customary. To keep customary, it's like the man is the one who does the proposing, not the woman doing the proposing.
Right. So she was just, you know, going off the traditional way and how things supposed to line up. And people kind of got in their feelings behind it. So, but that's that. Last topic we're going to talk about is a woman's independence shouldn't be an excuse to not doing your part as a man or bashing women targeting their accountability. All right. I got this topic from multiple sources, actually. It was kind of a submitted topic, and I came across a video and stuff on social media. All right. So a lot of people are familiar with Kevin Samuels. You know, he's been doing videos and he attacks people's accountability, you know, teaching accountability and things like that. And, you know, real world stuff, you know, kind of similar to our platform somewhat in a way, for those who don't know who Kevin Samuels is. And right as of late, you know, he has been teaching accountability, you know, towards the women, you know, focusing on the women's accountability and what can they do better and stuff that they're doing that they shouldn't do and all that, right? And that has sparked a following of men. They follow him, you know, religiously and cult-like because a guy is, you know, winning arguments with women or whatever the case may be, that however you want to look at it. And my point to that is, because someone is winning arguments with women, like, I get it, you know, women do stuff, men do stuff too. Ain't nobody perfect, ain't nobody safe. Everybody has the flaws, etc. But that gives no reason for you to attack a woman's accountability. You know, everybody's been brought up different. Everybody doesn't have the whole peaceful household. Everybody doesn't have the two-parent home. You know, a lot of different factors go into how people are, you know, built and created as far as how they live their life, their values, what they believe in, stand in, etc. And for you to attack a person's accountability based on either gender or what you may have heard or society standards or stereotypes, etc., is wrong. On the flip side, a woman's independence, because a lot of guys feel that if a woman's too independent, they can't do their job, or they feel that they shouldn't do their job because the woman is so independent. And my point on that is that's an excuse. It doesn't matter how independent the woman is. Still do your job as a man. Like we said, like I was mentioned in the other topic, men are supposed to lead, protect, and provide. You're supposed to do that anyway. I don't care how independent she is. I don't care if she makes more money than you. You still supposed to do your part. You know, don't get in your feelings and be all simp for, whatever you want to call it, because, oh, she is so independent and, you know, she doesn't really need you. Stop looking for women that need you, you know, and just go after whoever. You know, like in an episode that we previously done, when we talked about how men that aren't as successful, are they allowed to go after ambitious women? And the case is, yeah, you can go after who you want. It doesn't matter. Now, as long as you're trying to build to that level or get to that level of being ambitious and stuff, cool. But if not, then no. But the point is, stop using that as an excuse to not do your job. You know, love the woman and do what you're supposed to do as the man in a relationship.
Example, taking out the trash. Just because she got some more money than you or she cleaned the house better than you, still take out the trash. Don't no woman want to tell no man, take out the trash.
Exactly.
That's like a whole nother child.
Exactly.
Like, it doesn't even matter if the woman is really is independent.
Make it to the
women want to be wanted and men want to be needed.
Yeah,
so
right.
Just, so play your role. Still take out the trash. Still comfort her when she's angry. Still comfort her when she's upset. Still be that romantic guy that she fell in love with when she first met you. Still do those same things.
Right.
It didn't even change.
Yeah. Exactly.
But if you stop doing that, and then you're just depending on her, that makes me feel like that's like a child.
Yeah, another mouth to feed.
Now that just starts becoming laziness.
Exactly. That's what I said. It's an excuse. Like, excuse for you not to do anything. And that's wrong. You can't go like, you cannot live life that way. You cannot be in a relationship that way. And, you know, don't get us wrong. There are some women out here that are okay with that. We kind of talked about that before, too. Some women are okay with taking care of a man. Man ain't doing nothing, laying on the couch every day, and she going to work hard, and she still got to come home and cook. He could at least take care of the house or do something, but some of them don't even do that. And there's a lot of women that are okay with that, and I'm just like, that ain't cool. But it's stop using that excuse, man. I'm talking to the men out here. There's a lot of men that use that excuse. I've seen it, witnessed it for myself through homeboys and stuff. And yes, you know, it doesn't matter how independent and how demanding or whatever the case may be, she is. Still do your part. You know, she still appreciate it. At the end of the day, she's still a woman. It doesn't make her some type of monster because she's so independent. Like, you can't do your parts or whatever. She's going to still appreciate it and stuff like that. Stop doing that whole wanting to be needed role, you know. Just do you and love her the same and move on with your life.
Pretty much be that best friend.
Yep. And it'll go a long way, I promise you. All right, that pretty much wraps up the topics for tonight. Stay tuned for the outro. All right, y'all. That pretty much wraps up tonight's show. I hope you enjoyed the guests that we had this episode. I hope you enjoyed the topics that were discussed. If you would like to be on the show as an entrepreneur guest, guest speaker, music guest, you can do so by emailing the show at BRealTalkLive@yahoo.com. You can also DM the show on Facebook. That's at RealTalkLiveDTX or on Instagram at BRealTalkLive. Also, you can contact the show if you would like your radio spot commercial created and ran on the show. You can also contact the show those same places if you are a independent music artist and you want your song featured as the Realest Song of the Week on any given episode. So send your music, send your topics, or whatever the case may be. Just contact the show. We love to hear from you. And your input is what makes us great. Also, if you would like to donate to the nonprofit organization, Brandenburg Entities, in which we take care of ignored and unanswered problems throughout the community, as well as providing a permanent plan to end homelessness with the initiative Project Helping Hand, you can do so via PayPal using the email BraylonBENT@yahoo.com, Cash App, which is $BraylonBlairENT, or whenever you hit up Braylon's Real Talk Live to check on episodes, you can hit the Support This Podcast button, and three monthly options will come up where you can give monthly donations to Braylonburg Entities.
And if you like your resume revamped to get that wonderful new job that you've been waiting on, go ahead and hit me up at Randy Richardson, resume writer, on Facebook.
Yep. And you can also go to the link in the show's bio on Instagram, and a link to her services will be right there as well. And lastly, make sure to catch us for our next episode, which will be October 3rd. Speaking of October, that will be the last month for season 4. Season 4 will end in October. The last episode will be October 17th. So make sure to tune in and catch up and go over all the episodes of season 4. And also, you can always submit things, topics, even when we're not in rotation for recording. Everything will be all set for the new season. So you can still contact the show anytime. We'll still take submissions, still take donations, and things of that nature. So, but other than that, until next time, we always look forward to expressing the real. Peace.